a young man wrote us a letter. He flies a 747 for UPS. And he leaves Alaska. He flies to Alaska and leaves Alaska and flies in the Orient. And for 2 weeks, he flies from China, Japan, wherever UPS has him fly his 747. And he wrote us a real nice letter, and he makes Grosses Creek his church. Our website, he goes on our website on Sunday mornings and makes Grosses Creek his church service. So I appreciate Sid keeping our website up. Isn't that great that somebody can, and by the way, he puts it in autopilot, and he plays on his phone and watches the computer and does whatever he wants to do between China, Japan, and he told me that he might eat lunch in Japan, and he might eat supper if they send him, he could eat supper in Paris. So, I think it's a long way to Chilhowee sometimes, but, the point is, I'm just so grateful for all of our ministries that go out here from the church. Now, if you would turn with me, please, I'm going to preach on grace this morning, and I'm going to have you to turn to a real strange place to preach on grace. And that's in Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34. Again, if you're visiting with us, God bless you. And thank you for being here. We're so glad you've chosen to be here today. And we're so glad that you've chosen to make us your place of worship today. Let's always remember when we come in here, we can have a good time. We can laugh. We can joke. We can fellowship. But let's always remember, we've come to worship this morning the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life. He is the reason that we're here. He's the one we exalt. And when we open this book, every verse of Scripture in here, don't miss this, points to Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross of Calvary. We'll read that portion of Scripture in just a moment. Let's go ahead and bless the message. Bow your head with me. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for all Your blessings. Thank You for each one that's come this way. Thank You for the Lord Jesus. Thank You for salvation. We're so grateful this morning that we can stand because of the grace and the forgiveness and the kindness of our Father. Thank You for being our Father. Thank You for making a way on the cross. Now, Father, bless each one that's come this way. Bless each home. And Lord, bless our food today and our fellowship today. Help us to just honor You in whatever we do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look this way. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Grace. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. Don't miss that. Grace. We are saved this morning by the graciousness of God. It is unmerited, it is unearned, and it is undeserved. It is unearned. You cannot work and obtain God's grace. As a matter of fact, the more you work, the more in debt you go. You say, how do we get out of debt to God? I'll get to that in just a minute. You cannot work for it. It is unearned. It is unmerited. Unmerited means that you cannot perform in behavior good enough to merit God's love. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So it's grace is unearned, grace is unmerited, and grace is undeserved. I may stand before you smiling and forgiven, clean in a nice suit. Or I look pretty good in a cheap suit, don't I? But listen, I do not deserve God's grace. I'm enjoying it. I'm smiling. But I don't. Nobody in this building would stand up this morning and say, preacher, I deserve God's grace. Nobody. We realize that it is undeserved kindness. You ever been kind to anybody who was mean to you? You ever been kind to somebody who was unkind to you? You know what that's called? graciousness? You ever given somebody something that you knew they did not deserve? That's graciousness. That is what God is. And that's when you have, when you do those acts of kindness, you experience somewhat of the heart of God. For God gives to us what we do not deserve. When we were in sin, yet Christ died for us. Grace is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. An atheist once said, he stood and he said, "If there's a God, let him strike me dead." He did not die. And he said, "You see, that proves there's no God." And the man standing beside him said, "No, that only proves that God is gracious. That only proves that God is gracious." God's plan was to be gracious before the world began. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before you were ever thought of, before I was ever thought of in the human race, God looked forward through the annals of time and saw that you and I would fall and need a Redeemer, and made a way in His plan and His purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ through the cross of Calvary that all might be redeemed. This grace is for all. God's plan was not for man to earn His favor. God's plan was not for man to merit His favor. Listen, God's plan was to give the divine favor of God to an undeserving mankind. That blows my small mind, because I realize what God's given us. Now let's read here. The Bible says in Exodus 34:1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount." And he hewed two tables of stone like the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went to the Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now look this way. God is about to give the law, the Old Testament law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, and all the other 614 aspects of the Levitical law. God was about to give a law that was going to say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law was given to put a restraint on man and to tell him not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery. By the way, the Bible says in the Old Testament law that the adulterer was to be stoned to death. We'd have about 10% of people left in this country if that was still the law. God is about to give the law. The law is just, the law is holy, and the law demands justice, and the law demands judgment. But watch what God says next. "And He said, The Lord descended in the cloud," verse 5, "and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious." Wow. He's about to give the law. He's about to give, listen, God is about to institute here the death penalty for sin. But He says something about Himself. And the Lord passed by, verse 6, before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, and to the third and fourth generation. Here comes God. And he comes down on the Mount Sinai and he said, what I'm going to give you, Moses, is going to be so holy, don't you even let the flocks feed near the base of the mountain. And God gives Moses the law. But God says, I'm going to tell you something, Moses. I'm still going to be forgiving. I'm still going to be loving. I'm still going to be kind. I'm still going to be gracious. So when God gives the law, he gives something else. A tabernacle. A blood sacrifice. A place where the Old Testament believer who believed the Word of God could go and offer an animal sacrifice and offer the blood for remission of sin. You see, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that would look forward to the day and the day that we live in when the Lord Jesus Christ would come and give His life and shed His blood. And now His blood has been shed. He's offered it on the altar of God in heaven. And you and I can come and experience, though we're sinners, though we've broken the law of God, though we deserve the judgment of God, though we deserve the justice of God, you and I can come on the basis of what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary and plead forgiveness and mercy, and we can be forgiven and justified by His grace this morning. Praise God. If you ever get a hold of that, chill bumps will run up down you. Amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can the guilty become cleared of all charges? God says in these verses, I will in no wise clear the guilty except through the blood. The Bible says that the law was revealed to us, and then faith was revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank God. When I could not reach God, Christ reached to me. When I could not attain the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ attained righteousness for me, and He imputes His righteousness to me, a hell-deserving, undeserving sinner who's just saved by the grace of God. Thank God. Martin Luther awoke to this great principle. In the spring of 1513, Martin Luther was a Catholic priest who began, listen carefully, to just get in the Word of God. You see, this book is what makes the difference in a cult and in true salvation. Martin Luther began to read his Bible, and he began to see the false doctrines taught by Catholicism. He began to see all the falsehoods injected into the church that day through Catholicism, and he began to understand something. You see, every cult in the world this morning teaches that you must earn, you must work for the favor of God. Martin Luther began to awake to the fact that God justifies freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther began to realize that the church was teaching, don't miss this, the church was teaching that God was somewhere in heaven and He was passive, and men had to be active in the plan of salvation. He began to realize that God, it was really the opposite when you read your Bible and when you study just the Word of God, that God has already been active in the plan of salvation. It is man who must come to Him by faith to receive His grace. Luther's eyes were opened to this reality. The basis of cults is having to earn salvation. The basis of Jesus Christ and Christianity is it's already been earned. I just have to reach out and grasp it. And when I don't miss this, especially this morning if you don't know Christ, when I reach to Him in faith, He reaches to me in grace. Salvation is not in man's productivity, it's in God's plan. Salvation is not the labor of man. Salvation is the work of God. Salvation is not the end of man's achievements. It is the accomplished design of God. God revealed grace to His prophets in old time. He said, of which salvation the prophets have searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. I can just see the Old Testament prophets, Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Jonah, and those Old Testament prophets inquiring of God about the time when grace would come, when forgiveness would come, when God's unmerited favor would be delivered unto man. And they searched diligently, the Bible said. They inquired for it, but they did not find it. They could only see it. They could only prophesy of it. David himself prophesied of the grace that it should come to come, and he said, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin." We've reached that stage. Blessed or happy are the people to whom God does not impute sin. You say, what does God do with your sin, Pastor? Instead of imputing it to me, He imputes it to Christ. He takes the righteousness of Christ and He imputes Christ's righteousness to me. It's the great doctrine of imputation. Grace can be had by faith, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What opens the door to the graciousness of God? Over and over, we're told time and time again, don't miss it. The rest of the world, the billions of people in the world are trying to earn the favor of God. And the Christian gets it by grace. Faith opens the door. The Bible says, Romans 5:2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Faith gives us access to grace. I have a key that gives me access to that church door back there. Faith gives me access to come into grace. Works locks the door. Watch this. Works only closes the door tighter. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, watch this carefully, Israel which followed after the law hath not attained to the law, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. God gave the law, but don't miss this. The law was given to be my schoolmaster, to bring me to Christ. That's what the Bible says. How many school teachers do we have? Raise your hand. How many school teachers? Amen. The law was given to be my teacher to teach me right from wrong. But the law was given to bring me to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, moreover, the law entered that sin might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God. The law teaches, I got chill bumps. The law teaches me that I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I come to the law, I face myself, and I say, Lord, have mercy. I've sinned against your law. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. I've sinned with my mouth. I've sinned with my flesh. I pray, as Paul prayed, oh, wretched man that I am. And God comes along and says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise God. Grace, grace, grace. Salvation is a gift to be received, not a reward to be earned. Think about the Sunday school teacher who asked her little class, she said, if I sold my car and my home and everything I had and gave it to the church, could I go to heaven? And the Sunday school class said, no. She said, if I came to church every day and cleaned the carpet and mowed the yard and lived a good life, could I go to heaven? And the Sunday school class said, no. She said, well, how do I get to heaven then? One little boy in the back said, you've got to die. Salvation. Listen what Paul said in Galatians. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you could work your way, if you could merit your way, if you could earn your way, what good is the cross? Why did God send His Son? Why didn't He just give us a step-by-step plan like other religions and say, you know, you've got to be a jihadist to get there. One step up. You got to go through the karma of the Hindus. You got to be a Buddhist who has the 8 steps to heaven. God didn't say that. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Before the foundation of the world, I'm going to make a plan that my Son's going to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world, and I'm going to be gracious for those to those who call on me by faith. Thank God. God is called the judge, the righteous judge of all the earth. A judge by his position must be right. He must, because of his position, make and choose right decisions. And God, looking forward at us and seeing us break His law, that law demanded justice. That law demanded that blood be shed. That's not popular today. That's not popular. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. You say, Pastor, then maybe I could shed my own blood for my own sin. No, the wages of sin is death. That's something you earn. You get that? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No, my blood is impure. My own blood cannot cleanse my own sin. And the Bible says, even if I would give my own children the fruit of the womb for the sin of my soul, God says that's not good enough. It's going to take a holy blood. It's going to take the very blood of God to be shed for my sin and for your sin. How do you get that blood applied, preacher? God didn't make the plan of salvation so difficult. He sent His Son to die. He placed the sins of the world on His Son. And He says simply, if you'll come to Me by faith, believing that I am and believing that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek Me, you can experience My grace. I wonder this morning as we close the message, do you know the grace of God? Do you know deep in your heart that Jesus Christ lives within and that you're forgiven of every sin?